الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we continue with the شرح في العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. And we came across what could be a conflict in our last session in regards to the tafsir of an ayah. Because we were discussing how the hadith says, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hadith Qudsi, that it was said to the people, "If'alu ma shi'tum," do whatever you want, you have been forgiven. And so we said that this is an indication that they will die upon iman, or that if someone of one, that inevitably they're going to be Muslims and they will die as believers. And if for whatever reason one of them left Islam, he will return to Islam before he dies. Alaykum salam. And we don't have any evidence that anyone left Islam. So the hadith then says, لا يدخل النار أحد بايع تحت الشجرة. He will not enter the hellfire anyone who gave pledge under the tree. The one before is the one, the people, the bayat al. This is bayat al Ridwan. In the Badr, these were the ones who were said to them, do whatever you want, you have been forgiven. In bayat al Ridwan, it was said to them, لا يدخل النار أحد بايع تحت الشجرة. He will not enter the fire, anyone among them who gave pledge on the tree. How many did we say they were? Around what? 300 something was the Ma'arakat Badr, Ghazwat Badr. Now we're dealing with Al-Hudaybiyah, Fath. صح. But then the Shaykh said, how do we bring a relation between that hadith and the statement of Allah, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْدِيًّا. There isn't any one of you, except that he will do wurud, which really means passing. Verily, this is something that has been, upon your Lord, something that is determined and fixed and firm, and it will come to pass. حَتْمًا, no doubt. مَقْدِيًّا, decreed by Allah. Which is Surah Maryam, Ayah 71. So how do we bring a relation between these two? Because on the one hand, the ayah says, none of you shall escape entering the fire. And the hadith says that they will not enter the fire. There are two ways to address it, two facets. فَالْجَمْعُ مِنْ أَحَدِ وَجْهَيْنِ الْأَوَّلْ أَنْ يُقَالْ إِنَّ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْمُرَادِ بِالْوُرُودِ. First, the scholars have differed about what is intended by the term wurud. Now, the problem is that the term wurud has multiple meanings, by the way. It also means roses, right? Warda. Uh-huh. Is it rose, wurud, or many roses? But we're not talking about roses here. We're talking about something very different than roses. Actually, there's no roses involved whatsoever. قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ هُوَ الْمُرُورُ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. Some of the ulama said wurud is murur. You know the murur? The ones give you mukhalafa. Well, nowadays they don't give anybody mukhalafa. The sahir is the one who does it. But murur has to do with passing. Marra rajul, meaning he passed by. Murra alay, they say in the local dialect, go pass by me, pick me up. Murur. So it means murur ala. Ala means under.
On.
The sirat. What is the sirat? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That sirat? To go over that path?
Yeah. But sirat is like
bridge.
A bridge, yeah. Where? Where is it cast? Over the hellfire. We learned this, ya jama'at al-khim. We studied this. It's a bridge cast over Jahannam. People will go over it. Some will go at the speed of lightning, and some people will go at the speed of a rider on a horse, and some people will go at the speed of a walking person, and some will be walking sometime and falling sometimes, and others will fall into Jahannam. So those who fail in the test of this dunya will not be able to go over the bridge. While they're trying to go over the bridge, the Jahannam, the khatatif, or the dimensions that comes at the yakhtufuhum, there's a word which I can't bring to mind now. Anyway, there are hooks that are there that will catch the people. That will catch the people and they will throw them in the hellfire. Now, the hellfire is the distance that it takes a rock to make it from the surface from the top to the bottom is 70 years. 70 years. When Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the companions and they heard a loud noise, he said, "You know what this is?" They said, "No, we don't." He said, "This was a rock that was thrown from the top of Jahannam and it just landed now 70 years ago. It took 70 years. You know 70 years? I mean, let's say the speed of the rock falling down, depending on its weight, obviously, whatever that could be, that's pretty fast, man. Even if it was a tiny pebble, even if it's a tiny pebble, it's going to be going pretty fast. So for it to take 70,000 years. 70 years. Oh, did I say 70,000? I'm sorry. 70 years. I was going to bring the 70,000 bridles. That's why I was saying 70,000. Sorry. 70 years. Correction. This thing is low, chief. Take it home. Right hand.
I have
a lot of Allah. 70 years still. Yeah, that doesn't make 70 years. How much? A year is 355 days, more or less, depending on the moon sighting, right? Not 365. That's the Gregorian calendar. So that's a long time. And then that Jahannam will be brought, will have 70,000 bridles. The bridles, the thing that they use to maneuver the horse or the animals, that thing, you know, ropes. Let's call it ropes with which you can go left and right. It will have 70,000. Each one has 70,000 angels. Meaning that one rope requires 70,000 angels to be pulling it. So that's around 5 billion or million angels. Right? I'm not the greatest person in math, but you should help me out. 70,000 times 70,000.
49.
49 what? 4.9. Yeah, around 4.9 million. 4.9 million angels to bring Jahannam. So this is not a joke when we speak about this and the bridge being cast over Jahannam and all this and people falling down. This is a serious subject matter. And sometimes, you know, and really, we are weird. We are very weird creatures. We know this. We all know this. Yet, we get involved in things and we fall into things which we know will lead to that. We know that this, what I'm doing, is something that will send me to Jahannam. And sometimes it's something so freaking silly, man. So insignificant. So easy to leave alone. But we don't do it. It's amazing. The most amazing thing in the world. Specifically when it comes to issues of whatever. Particular things which we know are manageable. I know there are some acts of worship that are very difficult. For example, lowering the gaze. You know, by human default, men love women. So one of the probably the most difficult things to do is to be able to avoid looking at haram. Frankly speaking. Because the hadith, many narrations that the biggest fitna which is left for men after the Prophet ﷺ was women. And فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. He said another hadith عليه الصلاة والسلام. So be careful of the temptation of the dunya and be careful of the temptation of women. The first reason for the destruction of many Israel was because of the temptation of women. And so we know this is something difficult that you have to struggle with on a daily basis. And every time you fall into sin, you repent. And this and that. Fair. But other things which don't require this much effort, which don't need all this struggling, which really you don't need to make much effort to do, is something that Allah made very easy. Yet we don't do it. Something is seriously wrong, man. Seriously. And you know what I'm talking about. And so these things we have to put in perspective when we speak about Jahannam. Because it is not a casual conversation. Nor is it something that we just you know, oh, okay, yeah, and then we go on. This is something that requires reflection. This is a serious issue. This is punishment. How long, Allah knows. How severe, you can't even imagine. You can read some of the verses in the Quran, some of the ayat which are scary enough. And it's beyond that. So let's not be silly and risk entering Jahannam over petty issues, over silly things, which we can do. And for whatever reason, is it, you know, pressure, the dunya, something is causing us to, you know, not do it. No, we can't do that. These things we have to have understood well, and we need to act upon them to the best of our ability, and with Allah lies success. At the end of the day, if one of us is able to do what Allah wants us to do and avoid what Allah wants us to avoid, it's not because you're special. It's because it's the tawfiq of Allah. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Success that I have is none except from Allah. It's not because you have any special characteristics. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have said, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومِ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثِ أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهِ وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. يعني يا حي يا قيوم, oh, the one who's the ever living, the one who maintains everything, برحمتك استغيث, your mercy is what I beg for. أصلح لي شأني كله, rectify for me all of my affairs, all of my condition, all of my conditions, anything which is a problematic, rectify for me, and do not leave me by myself, not even the blink of an eye. Yeah, and if Allah were to avoid, or if Allah were to turn away from one of us and not aid him for the blink of an eye, then you are on the verge of destruction. Yes, Allah's support, guidance, protection is required all the time for the believer to be successful. And so how do we acquire that? By believing and following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's the way it works. Can't leave those alone and then get that privilege. We may have shortcomings, you still will get the protection of Allah. But complete abandonment, or violating the sunnah, it's not like you're not praying the voluntary prayer. Say that's your business. You want to miss out on the good, that's your business. But the sunnah, as in the obligations which we learn from the sunnah that we're not doing, that's when the problem really arises. And then, you know, dealing with it is not a joke, not an easy thing. Ala kulli hal, we went off the topic, but at the end of the day, we said these classes are not academic classes per se. We're supposed to have these things, increase our iman, and remind ourselves of what we need to be reminded of. So it's all part of the game. So one of the meaning of sirat, then murud, is what? Murur. To pass over. The passing over. لأن هذا نوع عروض بلا شك. Because this is a kind of passing. كما في قول تعالى ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون. موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام, the ayah says, so when he warada, when he did warada of the ma, the water of Madian, he found an ummah, a group of people given their sheep, you know, drink. So now, did Musa alayhi salatu salam, the ayah says what? Warada. This is the fi'l. Ma'a Madian. Did he go in there or did he pass by there? He passed by there. He didn't go in the water. So now the ayah is used to show that the term wurud does not mean being immersed in something. It means passing over something or going by something. Which is a very strong argument, really. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَهُ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ وَسَطَ الْمَاءِ. We know for a fact he did not go in the water. بَلْ كَانَ حَوْلَهُ وَقَرِيبًا مِنْهُ. Rather, he was around it and nearby it. وَبِنَاءً عَلَى هَذَا لَا إِشْكَالُ وَلَا تَعَرُضُ أَصْلًا. Based on this, we don't have a problem anymore. We don't have a conflict. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Yes, there isn't any one of you except that he will pass over the sirat. Fair enough? Yes, because the sirat is over Jahannam. So technically speaking, Jahannam is there, the sirat is there, you'll be going over Jahannam. So wurud means passing over. It does not mean going in, entrance, ahsant. Now, this is one interpretation of the ulama which resolves the problem. But there's another interpretation as well, which also resolves the problem. So we don't have a problem to begin with. أَنَّ مِنَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ مَنْ يَقُولَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْوُرُودِ الدُّخُولِ. Among the mufassirin, who say, among them, are those who say that wurud means entrance. It means going in. It means being immersed. And it does not mean merely passing over something. وَأَنَّهُ مَا مِنْ إِنسَانٍ إِلَّا وَيَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. And that they say further that there isn't a single person except that he will enter the hellfire. Muslims and non-Muslims. Everybody. وَبِنَاءً عَلَى هَذَا الْقَوْلِ فَيُحْمَلْ قَوْلُهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ أَحَدٌ بَيْعَ تَحْتَ الشَّجْرَةِ أَيْ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا دُخُولَ عَذَابٍ وَإِهَانًا. With this tafsir, then we must understand the hadith in the following context. Meaning none of them, no one who gave pledge under the tree will enter the fire, the entrance of disgrace and punishment. Meaning they will not enter it to be punished and disgraced as it will be the case with the people of the hellfire. The other fussaq and kuffar and fujjar and whatever. وَإِنَّمَا يَدْخُلُهَا تَنْفِيذًا لِلْقَسَمِ. He will only enter it as means of fulfillment of the oath. Because Allah swore. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَرِدُهَا. Allah swore. It's an oath from Allah. And as fulfillment of Allah's oath, everyone will enter it. But those who were good, they will enter it, not the entrance of humiliation and punishment, but only to fulfill the oath of Allah. Are we on the same page here? Clear? أو يقال, or we can say, إن هذا من باب العام المخصوص بأهل بيعة الرضوان, which is a very common approach among the ulama. And this is a principle which you have to understand clearly to truly understand Islam, specifically if you're involved in da'wah. Because if you're involved in da'wah, there are some things which you must know. You cannot afford not to know. Because once you don't know them, then at some point in time, your da'wah will fail. At some point in time, you'll be cornered. At some point in time, you will misrepresent Islam. At some point in time, you will convey the wrong message. There's no doubt. This is why it is important, even if you're not a student of knowledge or a alim, but you must familiarize yourself with the usul. There are particular usul. One of them is al-'am wal-khas, the general and the specific. Meaning there are general things which have been specified with other textual evidences. If you're not aware of this idea, then you yourself will think there's a contradiction. So if you think there's a contradiction, how will you teach the people Islam when you believe that Islam contradicts itself? So you must know first that there's no such thing before you're able to convey that to others and convince them accordingly. And the truth is, there's absolutely no contradiction in Islam. No matter what people try to tell you, no matter what the kuffar present to you of, you know, supposedly ayat which appear to be contradictory or narrations or whatever, all this is misinterpretation. Because you must believe in the revelation of Allah. And Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. End of story. Do they not reflect upon the Quran? Do they not look into it carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they will find therein much discrepancies, much differences, much contradiction. Meaning when it is from Allah, it will not be the case. But this is where the scholars play the role of explaining the ambiguous, clarifying the doubtful, and explaining to the people how to understand this in the light of that. So that everything is explained, but you need to be intelligent enough to understand the explanation, and you need to have enough iman to believe that there's no contradiction. If your iman is weak, or you have, you know, some intellect problem, then there's nothing that one can do. You will insist that there's contradiction even though there isn't. So here we have Am Khas. What is Am? The Am says everyone shall enter Jahannam just to fulfill the oath. The Khas is, these is specific to these individuals. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning them, لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ, he will not enter the fire. Meaning this ayah, the Am, has been specified by this narration. And it could be specified with other narrations. The narration of the 70,000 who will enter Jannah بِغَيْرِ عَذَابٍ, who will enter Jannah automatically, those who don't have tatayyur and don't do ruqya, they don't ask ruqya from others. And you know the hadith, the one that Ukash radiallahu anhu said, you know, ask Allah to make me among them. He said, you are among them. Then another sahabi liked the idea, said, yeah man, let me join a crowd. He said, ask Allah to make me among them. So he said, sabakaka biha Ukash. Too late, Ukash beat you to it already. So these also specifies this ayah. But what is better? Is it better to understand it as in there's no aman khas, or to understand it as there's aman khas? Technically speaking, better without it. You understand? It's better to go to the first tafsir, which says there's no contradiction to begin with. Wurud doesn't mean entering to begin with. Wurud means going over. End of story. Because again, depending on the crowd, they may not like this am and khas. They say, well, what do you mean this is general, this is specific? The ayah says, and so some people are stuck on particular things that, you know, you may be successful in changing, or you may be unsuccessful in changing. And so you always want to avoid the issue, the confrontations. Because some people tend to go, you know, out of hand and they out of control. على كل حال, ما في مشكلة. The Shaykh said, وقوله الشجرة, the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the tree, هذه شجرة سدر, this is a lot tree, according to one opinion. وقيل شجرة سمر, it was said it was an acacia tree. I don't know about these trees, I looked them up online. Okay, don't think I'm this tree expert. I put, you know, went to the dictionary, put, you know, sidr, got this one, put the other one, got this one. I clicked on the pronunciation, and there you have it. So don't think, you know, oh, but Mus'ab, mashallah, the brother's an environmentalist, you know, and he knows. I don't even know, if I see a plant in front of me, I don't know what it's called. I can't tell if it's a rose or a flower. So just don't misunderstand me here. But alhamdulillah, I do my job before I come here sometimes. There's no really any issue behind this difference, whether it is a low tree or an acacia tree. Who cares? You know, it's a tree. كانت ذا ظل 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 عفوا ظل بالكسر. What we do care about, it was a tree that had shade. It provided shade. Do we say it was a shady tree? Maybe. فجلس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تحتها يبيع الناس. The Prophet ﷺ sat under the tree, shaking hands with the people as means of giving pledge. The pledge. وكانت موجودة في عهد الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. وعهد أبي بكر رضي الله عنه وأول خلافة عمر. Now that tree existed in the during the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and during the time of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه and in the beginning of the خلافة of عمر. Then what happened? فلما قيل له إن الناس يختلفون إليها أي يأتونها يصلون عندها. When it was said to عمر رضي الله عنه, the people are going there and praying. Now they're trying to seek barakah from the location. أمر رضي الله عنه بقطعها فقطعت. He commanded that it will be cut off, and so it was cut off. They cut off the tree. Or there must be some more technical term in English to cut a tree that I don't know about, I told you. But the idea is the tree was removed. Which shows you يعني the fiqh of the Sahaba, the fiqh and the tawheed, the firmness of tawheed. When the people start trying to seek blessings from something which is not supposed to be a source of any special virtue, then you must close it before it opens the door. Because eventually, knowing the way people are, they will eventually worship the tree. No doubt. Just like it happened with the people of Nuh. What was Wadden, Wasuwa'a, Wayaghutha, Wayauka, Wanasra? But regular men who became idols and objects of worship and intercessors and intermediaries, and all these things were attributed to them because of people's jahil. Because the shaitan, this is where he's actually waiting. This is his trap. He's waiting right there for the people to catch you into the shirk. Because if he catches you into sins and disobedience, he may be successful, he may be unsuccessful. Allah may forgive you if Allah wills, and he's lost. You may do hajj and Allah will forgive you, you lost. You may have good deeds which will erase it, you lost. You may have calamities which you are afflicted with, he lost. But if he catches you in shirk and you die this way, he won. For sure. That's why he goes for that. That's his main target. He doesn't care for other things. What he really cares for is that you fall into shirk. Once you fall into shirk, you are his follower. And so, you know, many of these groups out there who have fallen into that don't realize it. They may not. It depends on the people or on the person. But this is the most crucial thing. So Umar radiallahu anhu cut off the tree. قال في الفتح. It was said in the فتح. What's فتح? The conquest? What do they mean when you hear the ulama say في الفتح? Whenever the ulama say fil fath, now you're talking about Fath al-Bari fi Sharh Sahih Bukhari. Fath al-Bari of Sharh Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. So when the ulama say fil fath, as in they mean, now of course, depending on the context, it could be that they mean the conquest. But when they're dealing, you know, you read in the fath, when they use the term fath, mean Fath al-Bari. Meaning they don't have to tell you Fath al-Bari fi Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari. You should understand fath means the work of Sheikh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani alayhi rahmatullah. Wajadtuhu 'inda Ibn Sa'd bi isnadin sahih. He said, I found this athar in the book of Ibn Sa'd with an authentic transmission or an authentic chain of narrations or narrators. لكن في صحيح البخاري عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال رجعنا في العام المقبل يعني بعد صلح الحديبية فما اجتمع منا اثنان على الشجرة التي بايعنا تحتها كانت رحمة من الله. However, in Sahih Bukhari, Umar narrated that we came back the next year after the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, and not even two of us met under that tree which we had given the pledge under, and this was rahmah from Allah. وهكذا قال المسيب والد سعيد. Similarly, the Musayyib, the father of Sa'id, said, فلما خرجنا من العام المقبل نسيناها فلم نقدر عليها. So when we went the next year, we forgot about the tree, so we had no access to it. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا لَا يُنَافِي مَا ذَكَرَهُ Ibn Hajar عَنْ Ibn Sa'd. This doesn't contradict what Ibn Hajar mentioned from Ibn Sa'd. لِأَنَّ نِسْيَانَهَا لَا يَسْتَلْزِمْ عَدَمُهَا وَلَا عَدَمْ تَذَكُرِهَا بَعْدٍ. Yani the fact that they forgot it does not mean that it's existent or non-existent. It's just that the people forgot about it. The bottom line is that the tree was cut. وهذه من حسنات عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. This is one of the good deeds, one of the good things he left behind, عمر رضي الله عنه. لأن نظن أن هذه الشجرة لو كانت باقية إلى الآن لعبدت من دون الله. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, because we believe, we assume, and dhan could mean, by the way, yaqeen, it could mean, dhan could mean doubt, and it could mean yaqeen. And you must understand the difference, otherwise you will misunderstand the book of Allah. For example, Allah says, inna ba'da dhanni ithm, that some form of assumption, or a bad assumption, is sinful. Okay? Dhan here is doubt. To have an evil assumption about someone or to doubt. And dhan means yaqeen. Who can give us an ayah from the book of Allah where dhan does not mean doubt, does not mean skeptical, it means 100% yaqeen. Certainty, it means yaqeen, same meaning as yaqeen. Mulaqu rabbihim. ولا ملاك الله إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيا. When Allah spoke about the one who was given the book in his right hand, he said, إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيا. Does it mean that I had an idea, I had a doubt that possibly I will be meeting my reckoning? No, this was a yaqeen, man. This guy had yaqeen, otherwise he wouldn't be getting his book in his right hand. And many other ayat where ظن means yaqeen. الذين يظنون أنهم, those who have certainty that they will meet Allah or meet their Lord, and many other ayat. So you have to really read the context to see whether it means doubt or yaqeen.
قوله ويشهدون بالجنة لمن شهد له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كالعشرة وثابت بن قيس بن شماس وغيرهم من الصحابة. Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they testify and they bear witness and they affirm about those who have been promised Jannah. Huh? Those whom the Prophet ﷺ testified that they will be from the inhabitants of Jannah. Like the 10. You all know the Al-Ashara Mubashareen. The 10 who have been given glad tidings of Jannah. And Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas. And others among the Sahaba like Ukasha and others. Now the Shaykh said, يَشْهَدُونَ أَيْ أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. يَشْهَدُونَ, they bear witness, they testify, they affirm, meaning أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. وَالشَّهَادَ بِالْجَنَّةِ نَوْعَانِ. Now when you testify that someone is in paradise, it's of two kinds. شَهَادَةٌ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِوَصْفٍ. One which has to do with a description, meaning whoever has that description will be from the people of Jannah. وَشَهَادَةٌ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِالشَّخْصِ. One which is particular to a person, meaning Fulan will be in Jannah. Whenever you say, you're testifying that a person will be in Jannah. Either you're speaking about a person who has a quality, a particular quality that is promised in the Quran that will go to Jannah. Or you're speaking about a particular individual, an identified individual, not random. Not someone who meets a particular quality, no. A person by name. وَأَمَّا الشيخ said, أَمَّا الْمُعَلَّقَةُ بِالْوَصْفِ. As for the one which is related to the description, فَأَن نَشْهَدَ لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ أَنَّهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. You must bear witness, by the way, that every believer will be in Jannah. But we must add a qualifying word or qualifying adverb. Yes. What is that qualifying adverb? Every believer will be in Jannah.
Eventually.
Yes, sir. Wow. Muhammad, that was accurate, mashallah, tabarakallah. Eventually. Yes. You must add that. Because if you say every believer is going to go to Jannah, meaning no one's going to go to Jannah from among the believers, and that's incorrect. Because we know that it will be the case. So eventually, meaning at some point in time, when they're paid for the punishments and everything, they will be eventually in Jannah. Every believer who died upon Tawheed, from the time of Adam until the end of time, will eventually enter Jannah. Eventually. Not from the beginning. وكل متقن أنه في الجنة. We believe every taqi is in Jannah. بدون تعيين شخص أو أشخاص, without specifying a person or many people, just anyone, any believer, any taqi. وهذه شهادة عامة. This is a general testimony. يجب علينا أن نشهد بها. It is obligatory, incumbent on us to bear witness to that. لأن الله تعالى أخبر به, because Allah informed us of that. ف
فقال تعالى إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات النعيم. Those who believe and do righteous deeds, to them belong the gardens of delight. خالدين فيها, abiding therein eternally. وعد الله حقا, the promise of Allah in truth. وهو العزيز الحكيم, He is the one full of might, all wise. وقال وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. And hasten and come forward to the forgiveness of your Lord in a garden as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the people of taqwa, the muttaqeen. وأما الشهادة المعلقة بشخص معين, as for the testimony which is related to a particular person, فأن نشهد لفلان أو لعدد معين أو في الجنة, that we bear witness عليكم السلام, that فلان, meaning a particular person or a particular number of people are in Jannah, which reminds me, remember I told you about فلان last time?
Yeah.
Well, let me add another one for you. Yesterday on Chat Islam, someone said, you keep mentioning in your lectures, you know, Mawlana Batiqa. Mawlana Batiq, who is he? I said, come on, man. Batiq is watermelon. And I just say, it's just a name that I throw to, you know, I mean, random person. They thought there was some big Mawlana Batiqa that he's my reference, you know. He's someone from the Sufi chain that I've taken my knowledge from. So he was interested in knowing who's Mawlana Batiqa. And so, you know, I was like, that question I was not expecting on Chat Islam. But anyways, I said, there's no Mawlana Batiqa. So one person asked, who's Fulan? You know, can we meet him? So Fulan is like ex-person, man. You want to meet ex-person? I don't know, go look for him in jail. But there is no real person, you know, his name is Fulan. Unless someone named his son Fulan, which will be a major error. Yeah, Fulan, come here. And then five people will come. Okay, so make sure that, because look, let me tell you something, man. Some of the Muslims in different countries, they come up with the funkiest names, man. Let's stop playing games with each other. And we have to, you wouldn't be shocked if someone was named Fulan. Because, you know, some brothers met a person, a lady named Namil.
Namil.
Namil, ants. And because they picked up the Quran and they opened it and it came Surah Namil, her name is Namil. The other one is named Nahl, bees. And so the list goes on.
Even Ghashia.
Ghashia? Wow.
Surah Ghashia.
That's good. The list goes on with people, you know, using the Quran as means of picking out names. Alhamdulillah, now they have websites. By the way, you just go, you know, A, and it has a list of names. That's safer than opening the Quran, obviously, and seeing the very word you put your finger on. That will be the name. Oh, Fi, your name is Fi. Fi, la wallah ma Fi. Huh?
There were twin brothers, Yajuj, Majuj.
Man, that's wild, man. See, okay, that's enough, man. You know all these people or what? Yeah. Shu'aib, man, you're a troublemaker. Then there's no Fulan, there's no Batiqa, Jama'at al Khair.
Talking about
Ida,
there was
Ida
as well.
Ida? Ida, Allah yahdina wa iyyakum. طيب. المهم, سواء نعم. وهذه شهادة خاصة. This is a specific shahada. فنشهد لمن شهد له الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. We also bear witness and testify to those whom the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام bore witness to and testified that Abu Bakr is in Jannah. For example, سواء شهد لشخص معين واحد أو لأشخاص معينين. Whether he specified a person or a group of people, like Bay'at al-Ridwan, like the Ghazwat Badr. There were a number of people, a large number of people, whom the Prophet ﷺ promised Jannah to. So we believe in that. It doesn't have to be by name, whether it is a group of people or an individual. If the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a person, this person Jannah, you as a believer, you must believe the same thing. You don't second doubt the Messenger of Allah. Who does that? Shia. They do. No, they oppose and negate and deny all of that. أعوذ بالله. مثال ذلك ما ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله بقوله كالعشرة. An example to that is what the Imam Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned by saying العشرة, the ten. يعني بهم العشرة المبشرين بالجنة. He means the ten giving glad tidings of Jannah. لقبوا بهذا الاسم لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جمعهم في حديث واحد. They were given that title because the Prophet عليه السلام mentioned them in one hadith. 10 in one hadith. وهم الخل... Now, who knows who they are? Does anyone have the 10 memorized?
Abu Bakr. Not all 10. Abu Bakr, Umar.
Wow, you gave me the most difficult ones, yeah, Ibrahim.
Talha. Talha, Zubair.
Talha?
Talha is there.
Talha?
Talha.
Ta.
Da.
طلحة. Because Talha is something and Talha is something else.
What is
I don't know what it means, but it's not the word that we want. Talha is banana tree, by the way.
Zubayr.
Sa'd Mabi Waqas.
Abdurrahman.
Sa'd Mabi Waqas.
Abdurrahman.
Two more.
Don't worry, the Sheikh will mention it. They are the four Khulafa: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Then, Sa'id ibn Zayd. Try to memorize them. Sa'id ibn Zayd, all of us, by the way, because I always forget them. I'm bad with names, anyways. There are people I've known for 5 years. Wallah, I don't know their names. Every time I see him, hey, brother, salam alaikum, how are you? And then when they call me phone, hey, brother, it's Abdurrahman. I said, I see you every week. Brother, come on, man. Sorry, akhi. I'm sorry. Wallah, I don't mean to be rude. I don't know who you are. Then he starts describing himself. I'm the guy with hair on my head. Oh, okay, mashallah, tabarakallah, zakallah khair. Anything else that is interesting? You have a face? Yes, I have a face. Oh, okay, I know you now. That is not going to help anyways. I mean, I'm not going to remember you through your hair or your face. What is important is that you tell me something that is unique about you.
We met in the masjid.
Yeah, we met in a masjid or something. No, you tell me something unique with which I can identify you. But the names, honestly, even right now, I maybe know three of you by name. Everybody else, I apologize. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just bad with names. Bad with names, bad with dates. And I don't remember, I don't know how old my parents are. I don't. And I've been told many times. And every time I forget. In fact, the last time I was in Lebanon, they told me I'm this much and that much. And now I don't remember again. Subhanallah. I asked my daughter, how old are you again? Says 4. Okay, I'm going to remember that one, inshallah. Then the very next time someone asks me, how old is your daughter? I have to ask her again. So subhanallah, some people just don't have it. And I'm one of them. So don't take it offensively. So I'm bad with names, but we must memorize the 10. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Good one. Wa Abdurrahman ibn Awf. That's easy, because everybody has it memorized from before. Wa Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Intabih. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. والزبير ibn Awam رضي الله عنهم وأبو عبيدة ibn Jarrah أبو عبيدة عمرو ibn Jarrah. And these are the 10. وانظر تراجمهم في المطولات. You can look at their biographies and the books authored, lengthy books on this subject matter. Let's repeat. أبو بكر, عمر, عثمان, علي, سعيد ibn Zayd, عبد الرحمن ibn Awf, سعد ibn Abi Waqqas, طلحة بن الزبير, طلحة بن عبيد الله, زبير بن عوام, أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. خلاص. We'll see next week, inshallah. ولقد جمع الستة الزائدون عن الخلفاء الأربعة في وقد جمع الستة الزائدون عن الخلفاء الأربعة في بيت واحد واحفظه. Now if you're in the mood, or you're inclined towards memorizing poetry, then that will solve you the problem. Because they have been all put together in one verse, one poetic verse. Sa'idun wa Sa'dun wa ibn Awfin wa Talhatun wa Amiru Fahrin wa Zubayrul Mumaddahu. Okay, these are the 6 besides the 4. Sa'id, Usa'id, wa ibn Awf, wa Talha, wa Amir, wa Zubayr. They give him part of the name. But if you memorize the whole name, it will be better. So we should memorize it, inshallah. على كل حال هؤلاء بشرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في نسق واحد. The Prophet ﷺ gave him that glad tiding in one context. فقال أبو بكر في الجنة. So he said أبو بكر is in Jannah. وعمر في الجنة. He said عمر is in Jannah, and he enumerated them. عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولهذا لقبوا بهذا اللقب. Subsequently, they were given that title. That title was given to them, the 10. The 10, because they came in one hadith. فَيَجِبُ أَن نَشْهَدَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لِشَهَادَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ بِذَلِكِ. We should bear witness that they are in Jannah because of the testimony of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. That's how it goes. قَوْلُهُ وَثَابِتُ بْنِ قَيْسِ بْنِ شَمَّاسِ. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, besides the 10, ثَابِتْ ibn قَيْسِ ibn شَمَّاسِ. ثابت بن قيس رضي الله عنه أحد خطباء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was one of the speakers at the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. كان جهوري الصوت. He had a loud voice naturally.
فلما نزل قول الله تعالى, when Allah's statement was revealed, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Allah said, oh, you have believed, do not raise your voices over the voice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and don't speak to him loudly like you speak to one another, lest your deeds will be invalidated or become fruitless or void while you don't even feel it. So خاف أن يكون حبط عمله ولا شعر. He became afraid that he thought the ayah was speaking about him. Because when he would speak to the Prophet ﷺ, naturally he had a loud voice. So his voice was over the voice of the Prophet ﷺ. He was speaking to him loudly like he would speak to others. So he thought the ayah was in reference to him. His deeds have been nullified and he doesn't feel it. فَاخْتَفَ فِي بَيْتِ. Look at the Sahaba, subhanAllah, how soft and tender their hearts were. So he remained in his home. He was in a sad state. فَفَقَدَهُ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The Prophet ﷺ found him missing. He noticed that he wasn't showing up. And here shows you the leader also being familiar with the people. Knows what's up. He knows what's up. Why is this person not showing up? فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ رَجُلًا يَسْأَلَهُ عَنْ اخْتِفَائِهِ. He sent a man asking him what has been keeping you away. فقال إن الله أنزل قوله. Then he said, Allah has revealed the ayah which we quoted right now. وأنا الذي أرفع صوتي فوق صوت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حبط عملي أنا من أهل النار. He said, I am the one who raises my voice over the voice of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. My deeds have been nullified. I'm from the people of the fire. فأتى الرجل إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فأخبره بما قال ثابت. A man came back to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Thabit said that this is what is keeping him away. The ayah is in reference to him. He feels that his deeds have been nullified and he's going to the hellfire. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اذهب إليه. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, go back to him. فقل له إنك لست من أهل النار. Say to him, you're not from the people of the fire, ولكنك من أهل الجنة. Rather, you are from the people of Jannah. فبشره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجنة. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him glad tidings of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. So something which, يعني, he see to the mercy of Allah, the very thing which he thought was going to destroy him was his key to Jannah. The thing which he thought was going to be the end was actually the opening, the beginning for him. لا إله إلا الله. قوله وغيرهم من الصحابة. And others among the Sahaba, مثل أمهات المؤمنين. Like the mothers of the believers. لأنهن في درجة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. They are in the same degree with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. These are his wives. So no doubt, Hafsa, all of them, Umm Salama, all of these will be with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in Jannah. ومنهم بلال. Among them is Bilal. He heard his footsteps in Jannah because of the 2 rak'at after wudu. وعبد الله بن سلام. وعكاشة بن محصن, the one which we spoke about right now. وسعد بن معاذ رضي الله عنهم. These people were, in other narrations, were given glad tidings of Jannah. قوله or shall we? We shall. Yeah, this one we'll have to postpone. No, not 20 minutes, man. It's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. No, because now we're going to actually shift into the topic of what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in terms of the hierarchy, if we may call it, of the Sahaba. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, or is it Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman, or is it Ali, Umar, Abu Bakr, or is it Ali only, nobody else, according to these people? All these issues will be addressed, and then I don't want to shift to this topic until we have finished this one. So next week, inshallah, we will begin discussing what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah have as an aqidah in terms of the status of the Sahaba, in terms of who is the best in the Ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with that we conclude. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. الحمد لله.